interior.
Six-man quartet, Mike.
Mark Obermiller, come on down. You're the next contestant on God is Always Right
there. That's good.
This is going to be our final practice before we do this tomorrow night at the men's meeting.
Guinea pigs.
This time, what we've all been waiting for, Charlie Souter is an old, old friend of mine. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. He's not that old. But I'll just let him tell what he's going to be here for. Charlie, it's all yours.
Somebody's going to have to get right because Mitch said I had a half hour, and I said, well, now, I don't know if I can go that long or not, but some people probably say I could go for all day. But anyway, I'm here this morning to tickled to death to be here. Maybe that won't fall down the basement. If it does, I'll send Mitch down after it.
Do I have to fall too?
Probably wouldn't be very wise to fall. I'm here to ask you how many would like to, are glad you're here instead of the finest jail in Scott County. Yeah. Yeah, there's two here would rather be in jail, I guess. They didn't raise their hand. The jail's pretty nice. You don't have to do anything except to eat and sleep. And that's about it. I mean, I was there right before Christmas and gave away some Bibles to the inmates, the ones that wanted them. Of course, we cannot force the Bible on anyone. We have the opportunity, and you have the opportunity, to give to the Gideon International. And I will mention this to start with. If you so desire, I would recommend you write the check to Gideon's International, not to Charles Souter or to Bob Hollis, because Bob will spend it for something else. But write the check to Gideon's International, and it's a 401(c). That means it's tax deductible, just as if you're giving it to the church or any religious organization. So make sure you write that check that way. I'll accept cash. They'll take it at the bank as well. But you have the opportunity to purchase Bibles by donating money to the Gideon organization. The Bible cost the little New Testament, what we give to the school and the youth over the country. And I even pass these out at the county fair. They pass different kinds at the state fair. I've never been on the booth at Gideon International to help distribute Bibles at the fair, at the state fair. But I have been at the Scott County Fair several years in a row, and it's not unusual. When we first started, when I first started about 20 years ago, it was no problem to give away a couple thousand of these little fellers during the course of the fair. It seems like people either aren't taking them or we've got the county saturated. It's hard to believe because there's people being born all the time and people move in and move back and forth. But the last 3 or 4 years, we've only gave away about 500 to 600. So we still are able to go to the Scott District 2 schools, the high school, the junior high, and the elementary. We also, in District 2, were allowed to come to Lexington Johnson. We can go to Johnson and pass out Bibles, and we've never been denied that permission to do that. We're very lucky, very fortunate to have a superintendent and a principal that are godly men, and they'll take the chance or the risk of allowing us to come in. District 1, which is Austin, for some reason, they think they will be sued if they allow us on the property. So we haven't, in the 20 years that I've been a Gideon, I've never been able to pass out New Testaments at the Austin school system. I just wonder if they can relate that to some of the problems that they have in Austin compared to what they do in Scottsburg. Scottsburg's bad enough. I mean, the drug rate, prostitution, you name it, theft. Of course, we think of theft not being as bad as some things, but see, man has put a degree on sin. God didn't. God said if you break one law, you're guilty of all. Now, I probably can't quote you the scripture on that, but I'm sure your fine pastor can do that. I mean, he's got a memory like that. But but it's very important that you're able, or that we're, that you allow us to come to the church and speak and solicit money to buy Bibles. The Bible that we put in motel rooms, and we still can get into the motels in Scott County, is a Bible that looks like this. And that Bible will cost the Gideons. We have our own printing presses. We make our own our Bibles, in which I think they do a quality job. But that Bible will probably be picked up in the lifetime of that Bible before it is discarded or thrown away. Will reach about 3,000 people in that motel. So it's a book, and then once in a while someone want to take that Bible. And we really don't care, because we'll go back and we'll replace that Bible and say, I hope they read it, and maybe when they go to church, or when they figure out the good Lord is number one, and we're not, we're just vessels of what God has put us here to do. But we think that if someone takes the Bible, when maybe they go to church or they become a Christian, maybe they'll donate at least money to the church, and maybe even to the Gideon organization, so we can replace that Bible. And
how much is that Bible?
That Bible is only a $5 bill. We've got a card rack back there, and it has cards in it that says in memory of, some in recognition of, and thinking of. I would suggest that we've got some churches in the area that will send. I'm a treasurer of the Scott County Camp. Well, it's called Scottsburg Camp now. It used to be Scott County, but anyway, now it's called, no, it was Scottsburg, but now it's Scott County. I'll get it right. But we have some churches in the county that will send me a check without fail every month. Now, it's real simple to do. In your card rack back there, if someone passes away, that's the most common gift that we get, they'll in memory of. And then when I take a Bible to a motel somewhere and place that Bible in the motel, I'll write in there in memory of so-and-so. So it's possible that if you go to a local motel, you might see someone you know that that Bible has been given in memory of. And that, like I say, we allow that for a $5. Of course, a lot of people, well, they used to buy flyers. Now, there's fine. I see a young man here that, you know, he, don't know his name, but he's a good-looking gentleman, because I know he's got a good-looking wife and a son beside him. So, now, not a son? A good-looking young man. Anyway, now, the since you have to, those cards back there is in memory of, thinking of, or in recognition of, you know, it might behoove a young husband or a father to maybe buy flowers. Now, I have nothing against flowers. My wife loves flowers. And by the grace of the good Lord, they've allowed me to live with that woman, been married for over 55 years. So she still appreciates flowers. In fact, I can't, you know, I can't go to the florist often enough and get flowers to suit her. So we might say, I mean, I don't want to get the florist mad at me in town or Kroger or JC store, because they sell them for, you know, for profit, and that's fine. But if you really want to remember somebody at the death, or recognition of someone graduates from high school, or have a career change or something and they get promoted, whatever, you might send them a card back there and say that so many Bibles is in being purchased in your name, and we'll see that those Bibles are purchased and given to someone. This New Testament, and all New Testaments, they're a different kind. We've got different colors. For instance, this is basically what we give to school. This would be the medical profession. We have the camouflage for the military. How many guys got one of these when they entered the military? Any military people here? When I went to the military, nobody gave me one. I don't know. I guess they get into sleep that day or something. But I've still got my little New Testament. It's burgundy in color when I was in the fifth grade in school. Of course, I remember the gentleman that came to the school at Little York. I got my fine education at Washington County at Little York and at Salem before I went to IU, but we won't talk about that. But anyway, I've still got my New Testament that I got in the fifth grade. I don't know how many people has got theirs from the military or from the fifth grade. But we are lucky enough that we don't distinguish them because we're not allowed to go into the school. We're not supposed to go through the school building. We have to stay on the sidewalk, and we can pass out these little New Testaments to the students before they get on the bus. But they cost about $1.35. So that's pretty cheap. Word of God. It's got only the New Testament plus Psalms and Proverbs. Just recently, I've got a daily reading chart that I've been reading ever since I was a Gideon. Of course, I did that before somewhat, but just not as much as I do at the moment. But I've started reading Psalms and Proverbs because I think Proverbs, it's just a wonderful book to read. Just a lot of common sense. I mean, it keep you out of trouble. I mean, if you read it, of course, the whole Bible is filled full of that. And to be a Gideon, you have to believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, infallible Word of God. You kind of wonder, technology is getting so, it has grown tremendously from the time I was that little feller's age till now. I'm old enough to be his great-grandpa, but technology has grown so much, and wonder, how on earth, some people have trouble realizing how electricity, gets that receptacle on the wall, plug it in. I can do electrical work. I've built several houses over my lifetime, and I've always done the wiring, the plumbing, and the framing, the roofing, the concrete. Even though I know how to run a wire from the panel box to the electrical, it's hard to me to explain to someone. Just makes that hot, when you put your plug in there and it connects those two terminals. You got to have two, to connect that, to make it hot, to make it the motor turn or the light come on. But then you start thinking about cell phones. Everybody has a cell phone. In fact, if you go somewhere, maybe other than church, and I've seen people do it in church, as soon as they sit down, they get out. I just wonder, what did they do before they had a cell phone? Well, I've got two 11-year-old grandkids that they've had phones for so long, I don't know if they can ever remember, anything but a cell phone. If they didn't have one of their own, they borrowed mom or dad's. But technology has gone so rampant so fast that you think, how did man get so smart? How did they do this? Well, I can't bear it out. I can't say that it's the truth in the Bible, what I'm about to say. But, it is in the fact that in the Bible that the world is going to come to an end, just like your life is going to come to an end. It makes a difference if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. It doesn't make any difference. It's what's in your heart. You can't, if you die without being a Christian or without believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then I don't think, there's my opinion again, that I can pray you to heaven. I think you go to heaven because you believe that Jesus Christ is Savior of your life, and only you can make that decision. Amen. So, and see, I'm getting amen. Hey, that's good. I had three kids that went to Bible college, and they had a good mother.
Praise God.
Amen to that. A person doesn't know just how lucky they are to be married to a godly person. I've got something else to say, but I can't say it. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. So the sooner that you can indoctrinate or infiltrate a child's mind or a person's mind, the better off, because they have a better chance of serving the Lord.
Amen.
If you're not a Gideon, and we would love to have Gideons and auxiliary. An auxiliary is the Gideon's wife. You have to be, in order to be a woman to be an auxiliary, she has to have a husband that believes in the Bible and has to be a Gideon. Gideons pays dues, and their wives, if they're in the auxiliary, they pay dues. That's what pays all the overhead of the Gideon organization. We have worldwide over a quarter million Gideons in the world. Those people pay all the salary, all the upkeep for the international, all the full-time employees. There's full-time employees that gets a paycheck every week. Just like, you know, we have to have a paycheck to live for some reason. I've never figured out why these people don't want to work. I mean, I don't want to work, but I know I always figured out if I didn't work, I didn't eat. In fact, the Bible's very plain on that. You know, if you don't work, you don't eat. So the giveaway programs, I guess, is all right if they're incapable of working. But as you know, most people are capable of doing something. There's so many different jobs of different levels of physical strength that you can almost find a job for anybody and everybody. We go to the motel room, and I said a motel Bible will last, people will pick it up about 3,000 times and read it. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, I got a few verses I'd like to read. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire. This is God speaking, and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God calls men to write the Bible. That's the reason I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, infallible word of God, and it is true. Alluding back to technology, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, it says in Genesis, by speaking to it. Well, you can speak into the phone, or you can, what do you call, escaping, or when you or Skyping, when you go and, you know, you can see somebody. They used to dream, when I was in school, just a kid, you know, I used to think about on the telephone. Of course, a lot of people didn't have telephones when I was a kid. My wife didn't have a telephone until we got married, and then her mother decided she needed a telephone so she could talk to her daughter occasionally without going into town. But now technology has advanced so much, and God spoke the universe into being. So if God is able to speak the universe, you know, if you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, and that mountain will move. Now, a lot of people don't believe that, but I've never seen it happen. But I have no reason to doubt that it won't happen, because the Bible has never been disproved in any way, shape, or form.
Amen.
A lot of people have studied it from one end to the other, and they've never, never been able to prove it completely wrong. Now, they might say, well, that passage isn't what you say it is. Well, that's possible, because maybe you didn't go back to the root of the Word of God. You know, that Bible's been translated in different languages. And when it goes from the Greek to English, so that you and I, or basically most people, can understand it, it could get moved around. But if you go back to the root of the verse, you'll find out there's nothing there that anybody can prove wrong. And as I said, 100% of what you give goes to purchase Bibles. If you give a dollar, if you give a penny, if you give $1,000, if you give $1,000,000, like Bob, could if you wanted to, all that money goes to purchase Bibles. None of it goes to me. We have the 250,000, 260,000, 270,000 Gideons and all the auxiliary of the wives don't get paid. Just the people at International gets their paycheck each month or each week. But that's the reason we're able to do what we do. When I was in jail, when I visited jail a little before Christmas time, I was able, me and another guy, another Gideon, gave away almost 200 Bibles. So we pray and hope that it continues and people will see the light. The Gideons was formed and made it legal, or made everything completely kosher, in 1905. They had two businessmen, two salesmen, came up in 1899, decided that we need to have some way to put Bibles in motels. And so they placed the first Bible in a motel in 1905. And since that time, the Gideons, with the help of people like you, we have given away over 2 billion Bibles and New Testament. So that's a pretty good little number. Now, I don't know how many of you people, can relate to a million. I mean, most people can't relate to a million, let alone a billion or a trillion, as the national debt is. But anyway, which is about 21 trillion now. We also have a life book. If you would so desire, you can get Mitch to... has to be an employee of the church, youth sponsor, or someone on staff. You can get these life books. That's free, absolutely free. Now, they only come in boxes of 100, but you can still get them and then pass them out to your kids, your grandkids. The kids can take them to school. They can't keep you, no matter what school you go to, they can't keep you from one student giving it to another student. So it's not a Bible, is what it is. I mean, it's just say they pass out leaflets to all different kind of religions, and they don't stop that. But sometimes they, just like the Austin Church, they get a little upset if you allow someone on the premises, on the grounds, to pass out Bibles. At this time, the young man back there got a testimony, and then I will wrap up things, because I can see now that I'm going to be my time allotted.
To my head, and I wanted to blow my brains out all over her wall. You must ask the question, why would a 10-year-old child want to die? 10 is a time to dream of being an astronaut, of being a soccer star, a football player, a preacher, a pastor, a doctor. But for me, life was so horrific, with so much vitriol and pain, I wanted to die. I'm the product of interracial immigrants. My grandmother was tall, white, and thin from Germany, and we called her French Fry. My grandfather was a big, burly black man from Cuba, and we called him Hamburger. Hamburger met French Fry and created a happy meal. And these two immigrants produced 7 McNuggets with special sauce. We would joke that we would have Wiener Schnitzel with salsa for Thanksgiving. My grandfather had to hide the fact in the 1940s in America that he was married to a Caucasian woman. But one wedding anniversary, he had a flaw. He liked to drink overproof Cuban rum. And one evening, he was inebriated. And a man saw them together and said to my grandmother, "Why would you be a nigger lover?" My grandfather, with huge arms, lost his temper and hit the man in the jaw and broke his neck. The man didn't die, but he was injured severely. He went to the worst prison, convicted of the crime, Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio, locked down 23 hours a day. It hit the newspapers that my grandmother was married to this convicted felon and she lost her job. But being a German woman, she didn't complain or whine or woe is me. She began to work odd jobs, cleaning other people's houses and toilets, taking care of their children. But as she was working, she would have fainting spells, passing out doing her job. She went to the doctor and discovered that she had a tumor growing behind her left eye that was metastasizing to her brain. And the doctor said, "We have to take out a third of your face, your eye. You will be malformed and disformed and disfigured for the rest of your life. What do you do when the American dream becomes an American nightmare?" She could not work. She was sick and mutilated. My grandfather's in jail, and day by day, they lost everything that they had acquired. They lost their house. They lost their car. They lost their furniture. They lost their dignity. They lost their self-esteem, and they were living in the streets like animals. My three uncles got hooked on heroin. They belonged to a gang called the Devil's Disciple, and my entire family became atheistic. No God, no prayer, no Bible, no hope. And my mother, at age 14, was called by a pimp named Larry, who said to her, "What is school doing for you? You are sitting on a gold mine." She said, "Where?" He said, "You're sitting on it." And we call this being turned out. And little by little, she began to sell her 14-year-old body to grown men for money to survive. It's called turning tricks. And at age 16, she got pregnant. We call it having a trick baby. Two strangers meet for a business transaction, and there's a mistake. The pimp said, "You can't make any money having a baby in the oven. We have got to kill this baby." They kicked her in the stomach. They fed her alcohol. They gave her drugs. They took a hanger and stabbed the baby over and over again. But the baby would not die. The baby was born 2 months premature with no pancreas, a learning disability, a bladder too small, unable to function, a severe stutterer. We call it a trick baby. Nobody wants the baby. No hope, no future. Kill it was the word. That baby was me. I'm the lowest of the low. I come from the guttermost. I come from a hellish condition. And so when I would go to school, I couldn't talk. I stuttered so severely from the trauma. My mother had a madam who hated men. Her name was Dolores, and she was a sadist. And when she would watch me, she would take a broomstick and stick it in a place where no boy should have any object in his body. And when you are tortured like that, you learn 4 things. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and pretend nothing is happening. And by age 10, I had had enough. I want it to die. And in my school, they put me in a boiler room with other kids who were dysfunctional like me, where we would finger paint all day long. And yet there was a teacher, thank God for her, who had a Gideon Bible. And she came to my school and she saw kids like me as her mission field. And she would give me this Gideon Bible and read to me stories of dysfunctional characters who God used. She would say to me, Ronaldo, God uses greatly those who have been wounded very deeply. He will turn your pain into power, your wounds into wisdom. She had me read the story of Moses, who was also a stutterer. I began to understand that God did love a trick baby. Even as low as I was, there was hope for me and possibility. And when a child begins to understand the love of God and the power of His word and the possibilities, it changes everything. How can a young man keep his way clean? By taking heed according to your word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I began to memorize the Bible, that Gideon Bible, reading 2,000 scriptures. And when you put that kind of word in a life, something begins to happen. My stuttering went away. I stopped wetting the bed. I stood tall. I became valedictorian, became a pastor and priest until everybody in my family got saved. Why? Because somebody placed the Gideon Bible in a woman's hand that changed a life forever. Yes, I was born a trick baby, but the trick was on the devil because of you and the power of the word of God.
I don't think I need to say anything else. The Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm going to read to you and challenge you before I dismiss. We're not going to be able to have another video because I've extended my time. Mitch said a half hour. Yeah, I'll try to keep it to a half hour. Bob said I can 45 minutes, but that's, you know, nobody wants to listen to anybody 45 minutes. But I will read this scripture to you. In Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. So if you feel so moved this morning to give to Gideon's International, I sure hope that you do. And I'm very glad that Mitch saw fit to invite me again yet another time. As I said, if anybody wants to become a Gideon, please talk to me. You just have to be a businessman of some sort. Professional, college education, you could even be a farmer. Of course, I heard on TV the other day, and I don't want to bring politics in this, but TV, as there was a certain guy said, you know, he could take care of everybody. He could even farm. Well, he doesn't know what farming is all about because he's been in the city too long. To be a farmer and be a successful farmer and make a living at it, and you got to have something up here, and you above all things, you got to be able to use this thing. You know, work a little bit. Of course, work. The technology has changed. I've got a cousin in northern part of the state that farmed around 3,000 acres a year. Now that's a lot of ground. When I was a kid, we had about 60 acres of crops, and we worked all the time. It seemed like. But of course, they use chemicals and stuff to kill. I mean, there's so much farming. The world has changed so tremendously, it's just unreal. But there's lots of different ways you can qualify to be a Gideon. You can be a doctor, a lawyer. We have a doctor in our local camp, Dr. Butler from Scotchburg. I don't know, some of you may know Dr. Butler. fine gentleman, him and his wife, Caroline. So there's a school teacher. I mean, there's so many different ways you can be a Gideon or be a member of the auxiliary if your husband so chooses to be a Gideon. At this time, I'll hush my mouth and go to the back, and if you so give money, be all right. I'll just stand back there, and they can give me the check or cash or whatever. Are you going to take an offering? Take an offering? That'll be great.